Next on Making Sense of the Madness, Trump's endorsements win again. The Trump wave is happening, and it's because of all of you patriots overwhelming the polls. Today, we will discuss the scapegoating of Russia and the Ukraine conflict with Harley Schlanger. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda. But first, a message from John Michael Chambers.
Elevated status, red alert imminent. The next 3 months, immense darkness and a near-death experience will engulf America and the world. Be informed, be prepared. Hello, this is John Michael Chambers with American Media Periscope. We are at war, and the storm, as we now know, is upon us. AMP will begin live broadcasting, including live AMP alerts as intel comes in. Joining us in studio are guests from the military, the legal community, new media influencers, and people from the intelligence community to cover this historic moment in time to help you to make sense of the madness. We caught the swamp, and this is the tipping point. We are under a wartime command structure, and we don't know what we don't know. But everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, then it's not the end. Hold the line, patriots. Stay the course and trust the plan. Remember, where we go one, we go all. Follow us at ampnews.us. Share our critically important broadcast. Stay safe and focused. Victory is ours. God bless.
So this wasn't a way to avoid Republican investigations if they take over the House and or the Senate.
Oh, Neil, not at all. Not even a little bit. I mean, I have nothing to hide and I can defend everything I've done and every decision I've made. So I'm not afraid of that at all. That didn't even come in as a minor consideration.
So even if they were to ask you, doctor, to testify as a private citizen now, that you would be open to do so?
Yeah, of course, Neil. I mean, but if you look at what's happened in the past, I believe that oversight is an important part of the government process. But some of the things that have gone on have been out.
Well, I guess we'll see how Fauci does when he gets grilled by a Republican Congress, because the party is signaling that the date for the barbecue has been set and invites have already been sent. Well, a Florida man has been sentenced to 5 years in prison just yesterday over an attempt to extort $25 million from the father of Representative Matt Gaetz. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane and see what Matt Gaetz had to say about this just this year in March.
Just a couple of hours ago, late this afternoon, the New York Times ran a story saying that Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is under federal investigation for playing some role in sex trafficking and potentially having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl. There are very few details in major news outlets tonight about this story. We have no background on it all and not even any very informed questions. Instead, we've invited Congressman Gaetz on the show to respond to these stories and give us his view of them. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. So this is obviously a serious allegation. Tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision. And
That was just in March. In March, you would have thought that Matt Gaetz was done for because the New York Times is accusing him of being a human trafficker. But now, look, Matt Gaetz just won his primary. Donald Trump congratulated him. And now the DOJ official, former, that is, that tried to extort his family, is sentenced to 5 years in jail. That's what winning looks like. Well, to everyone's surprise, the two patsies that were set up by the feds in the botched Governor Whitmer false flag have been found guilty in a retrial. Let's take a look.
Breaking news. Minutes ago, a jury handed a verdict down in the retrial for two men charged with kidnapping, plotting to kidnap Governor Whitmer, and both men are found guilty.
Looks like they were just going to keep on trying and trying until they could blame Trump supporters for some kind of problem that was actually set up by the feds. I do believe there will be appeals on this one, and we haven't heard the end of that story. Well, if you didn't already know how brazen illegal aliens have become, you will after you watch these would-be migrants duking it out on a beach in Tijuana with U.S. Border Patrol. Let's watch. Looks like Border Patrol might have to use more than batons next time. That's the type of stuff they have to deal with on a daily basis. Well, Dan Bongino has issued a public statement of regret for taking the vax. Let's take a look at that.
Folks, you know I got the vaccine. I do not ever try to fake the funk with you all. When I make a mistake, it's for the world to see. We all do it. There's no excuse for stupid. But I got to tell you, it was dumb. I believe in science, not the science, because there is no the science. Science is a process. There's no the science. Why is that, Joe? Because science is always evolving and changing. But the change takes time. And me being a believer in science, having practiced science in my educational experience in neuropsychology and elsewhere, believing in the scientific method, good, robust testing, and then retesting, and reanalyzing your results, I should have waited. Because the hard reality is, when the vaccine first came out, we didn't have chronological data because it just came out. There was no time that had passed. I should have waited. It's one of the greatest regrets of my life. I freaked out, man. I had cancer. I thought I was dying. I just wanted to see my youngest daughter's wedding. I don't expect any of you to forgive me for being stupid about it. I don't. Or to forget it. But gosh, it was the biggest mistake of my life.
That certainly resonates with a lot of people who wanted to see their children get married and to participate in society. We can never forget this, and we must hold those accountable. Well, Mike Lindell has been releasing new election interference intel, and as a result, he's been cyber attacked. Let's watch.
Frank's speech, or you could, before they just completely cut everything of all my servers in Detroit.
What happened?
Okay, this weekend, Google took down all my AdWords. I just found out this morning. So and when you Google things this weekend, if you Google Moment of Truth, Mike Lindell, if you Google Frank's speech, you couldn't see anything. They blocked it. Then this morning, they cut my servers to Detroit. I own all my own servers. So it was Sabbath.
That's right. This is what we have to deal with every day in the alternative media. It's constant sabotage and attacks, but we keep on trying to put the word out there. So find us on all of our channels in case you can't tune in with us. Well, Trump has endorsed 26 candidates and all of them won. He's 26-0. And if you were a betting man, you would have won big on Trump endorsements yesterday. Well, Paul Pelosi has pled guilty to one DUI charge and will not serve jail time. His dash cam footage was just released. Let's take a look.
You seem pretty shaky on your legs, and I don't want you to fall over. So.
Well, I'm not going to fall over. It's just a question.
Right. Well, just based on what I'm seeing, I don't feel comfortable having you perform the test just because I don't want you to have the potential to fall over and hurt yourself. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish.
That might have been edited just a little bit. Well, to give you an idea of just how stretched the lower class is in the USA, 20 million US homes are behind on their power bills. That's one in every six Americans. Just imagine if we had the type of energy spikes happening in Europe right now. It could turn out the lights for one in every six Americans' homes. Well, that is it for today's breaking news updates. Next up, Harley Schlanger and I will discuss the conflict in Ukraine and the story that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know as soon as we get back.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for three decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
We're at a moment of heightened danger of an expanding war between the U.S. and NATO against Russia, following the developments of the recent days. These are events which include the assassination of Daria Dugina in Moscow, allegedly by agents of the Ukrainian Secret Service, and also the continued shelling by Ukrainian forces of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. The puppet government of Ukraine is continuing to conduct these kinds of irregular warfare operations while they're demanding more weapons. Meanwhile, populations in the transatlantic countries continue to be bombarded by what is called information warfare, which less politely is described as outright lies.
That was Harley Schlanger. He's joining me today. He is the spokesman for LaRouche PAC and a former senatorial candidate. Harley, you've been placed on a list of information terrorists put out by Ukraine's Committee to Counter Disinformation, along with people like Scott Ritter, Glenn Greenwald, and Tulsi Gabbard. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. We've had this recent experience in the United States with the effort to set up a committee to counter disinformation with this wacko Nina Jankowicz, who was supposed to be the one telling you what is acceptable to say and not acceptable to say. Now, fortunately, in the United States, that has not fully been taken on, although if you look at the mainstream media, you see the narratives that are pushed are not allowed to be challenged. But what happened to me and to a number of my associates with the Schiller Institute, as well as another 40 people, is that the Ukrainian Committee to Combat Disinformation put out a list that they describe as information terrorists and say that we're committing war crimes by pushing Putin talking points. Now, as Scott Ritter said, this is designed to have a chilling effect on free speech. One of the people who Scott Ritter has pointed to in this, as behind this, is none other than U.S. Senator Charles Schumer from New York, who made sure that $1.7 billion of American money was given to these kind of civil societies in Ukraine, including this committee. And when the committee unveiled this list on July 14th, there were members of the U.S. State Department in the audience. Now, Scott Ritter has correctly described this as a kill list. And this should be taken seriously, especially given what just happened near Moscow to Daria Dugina just a couple of days ago. So I take it quite seriously. What I and my associates have done is we've gotten about 45 of the 78 people named to sign a statement calling on the U.S. government to cut off funds for this kind of activity and to investigate the Ukrainian government, because this is being run by the people who are telling the lies. And to give them the power to say what's allowed to be said is an example of the kind of hypocrisy coming from the so-called rules-based order of Biden, Blinken, and others.
Well, recently we had the attempted assassination of Alexander Dugin, and his daughter was killed. Russians are saying that it was Ukrainian Secret Service that did this, and they're collecting evidence and trying to present that. Do you think there's been enough of an outcry from the U.S. and NATO for this type of tactic, bringing the war outside of the borders of the country straight to Moscow?
No, there's gloating. U.S. officials are gloating about this. Look, there was a story in the New York Times, which I usually don't cite because it's such fake news. But last week they did a story, an interview with a Ukrainian special forces operative who said that they're being trained to carry out sabotage and assassinations in the Donbas region. Who's training them? British and NATO special operations forces. Who's funding it? The American taxpayer. And this is something which has been confirmed repeatedly. And the fact that the FSB, the Federal Security Bureau in Russia, tracked down the woman who they say was responsible for the car bomb that killed Dugina last Saturday, tells a real story here. Now, there's no outcry from the United States. They want the war to continue. And by they, I mean what we know as the deep state, or the intelligence networks that are tied to the global corporate cartels, the financial cartels, the ones who are pushing a war to destroy Russia. And it's worth noting, and I'm sure we'll discuss this on the program today, that the people who are behind this are angry that Russia, China, and an increasing number of nations are objecting to being told what they're allowed to do by the City of London and Wall Street bankers who are pushing the Great Reset. So I think this is the real story here. And when you talk about a deep dive, it's not just that we have people who are making mistakes or bad judgments in Washington and London and Brussels. They're people who deliberately are putting the world on the edge of what could become World War III and even a nuclear war for the sake of protecting their collapsing financial empire.
Well, now Biden is sending $3 billion more. This is money laundering at an epic scale. Who benefits? Who are the list of beneficiaries when we keep sending billions of dollars to Ukraine?
Well, I think it's important to note that Rand Paul called for a special inspector to see where the money goes and the arms go, and only 11 senators voted for that. What we know from the past, Afghanistan and Iraq, is that whole trays of money ended up in the hands of criminals in those countries, corrupt local officials, and representatives of some of the security networks tied to the Beltway outside of Washington. In other words, consultants, mercenary networks, and so on. When you start talking about $40 to $60 billion going to Ukraine, given that there are reports that Ukraine is the most corrupt government in Europe. Remember, this is one of the things that got President Trump in trouble when he was preparing to withhold funds for Ukraine until they came clean on their corruption. He was impeached. Who did that? The senators in both parties, but especially the Democrats, who want to protect the military-industrial complex. And if you want to look at a figure who's very important in this, it's the Secretary of Defense from Raytheon, who Lloyd Austin, who is at the center of what are these former military people who end up on the boards of the corporate cartels in finance, in security, in weapons trafficking, and so on. Now, they get the funds. There's no oversight or investigation to where it goes. And there are reports now in the European press, in the Greek press, the Italian press, and in the German press, that some of the weapons that were sent to Ukraine are ending up in shipments going to the Middle East, including to terrorists. Now, why should this be surprising? Isn't this what Michael Flynn exposed, what Benghazi was about, that the U.S. was providing weapons to ISIS in Libya, who then shipped them to Syria, and the U.S. under the Obama administration was supporting the terrorists in Syria? So this isn't new. The question is, who's going to speak out against it? Who's going to have the guts to tackle it and take it on? And that's why the Ukrainians, on behalf of NATO, it's not really, I don't blame Ukraine for this so much. They're being used as a proxy against Russia. And they're being used to silence Americans' free speech, to attack people like me, who, what am I doing? I'm just trying to get the facts out there to people that you don't see in the United States because the media refuses to publish them.
Well, let's talk about political solutions to this, because there is an America First populist groundswell going on in the U.S. and around the world, and people are not so keen on giving money to foreign countries and getting involved in foreign affairs like they used to blindly go along with. So do you see an end to this coming soon when the midterms happen, for example? What do you have to say about the modern Republican Party?
Well, I'm hoping that the people in the Republican Party who have been speaking out against Biden will follow through and stop this funding. Unfortunately, virtually every Republican has been supporting this war. You know, the U.S. Senate had a 100-0 vote to declare Russia a state supporting terrorism. Now, in response to that, Scott Ritter said, it just shows we have 100 idiots in the U.S. Senate. Remember what Trump's campaign was like in 2016. He campaigned against Hillary in particular, against these endless wars that were launched under the Bush Republicans and were continued under the Obama Democrats. And he tried to move to get us out of them. And he was stymied in many of these cases, although he didn't expand them or start new wars. As we see Biden, you know, I don't know, again, if people know this, but the United States is now talking about expanding NATO into Asia and into Africa. And so are we going to allow American young men and women to engage in wars in Africa and Asia? Will we end up fighting in a war in Ukraine? Now, I think most Americans don't want to do that. And the problem is that the war hawks in the Congress are heavily subsidized by the military-industrial complex. We see exceptions in the current Congress, and I think there are a number of Republican candidates who are opposed to doing that. But it really is going to take an outcry from the American people and to vote, first of all, for those candidates who oppose these wars, and then secondly, to look at what the solutions are. The solution is not to attack the sovereignty of other nations while we're allowing our own sovereignty to be lost. And this is, I think, one of the most important things that President Trump raised in September 2020 when he addressed the United Nations, where he gave this speech that the media ridiculed because they talked about America First. But what Trump said is, of course, we're for America First. That's the purpose of our government. But we're also for other nations having the right to sovereignty. But under the rules-based order of people like Blinken, which is the Zbigniew Brzezinski, Kissinger, Madeleine Albright conception, the sole superpower, the United States, has the right to tell other countries what to do. And what this means is we have allies around the world in countries that don't want to accept this. And let me just give you a really nice example. Blinken was recently in South Africa, and he was lecturing the South African foreign minister about how South Africa should be supporting the war in Ukraine. And she said, "You may not know this, but we're a sovereign nation, and you can't come here and bully us to do what you want us to do. We will do what we think is in the interests of South Africa." And that response is happening around the world in countries that don't accept the idea of the Great Reset, don't accept the Green New Deal. And so in the United States, we have potential allies all over the world, with the exception of our government in Washington, the government in London, the European Union, and Japan and South Korea and Australia are sort of going along with them. But the rest of the world is opposing this madness in Ukraine.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the mounting criticisms of the U.S. deep state before the U.N. Security Council. You've got a Russian-Chinese alliance here to discuss. We're going to take a quick break. I want to read some official statements from the Russian government. This is quite disturbing as soon as we get back.
Inflation is out of control. The price of gasoline has doubled in a very short time, and interest rates are set to rise. How do you protect and grow your portfolio to make sure that you do not outlive your assets? Invest in annuities that have rate lock. Rate lock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. With all the different companies, features, indexes, and benefits which annuities offer, it can be confusing to choose which annuity is best for your unique situation. Let a company you can trust help you select a rate lock annuity that's right for you. Add an annuity to your retirement portfolio and start enjoying the many benefits that smart investors love. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
We're talking to Harley Schlanger of LaRouche PAC, and I'm going to read a statement from the Russian government. This is just shocking what's going on, how high the stakes are. They said, today, by pumping Kiev with heavy weapons, the United States and its allies are doing everything in their power to protract the conflict in Ukraine, which began after the Maidan regime in 2014 attacked the people living in the southeast of the country with bombs and shells, relegating the Ukrainian people to the fate of cannon fodder. At the same time, contrary to their own declared values, Western countries cynically turn a blind eye to the spread of neo-Nazi ideology, massacres of the people in Donbas, and violations of international humanitarian law by the armed forces of Ukraine and the National Guards. In recent weeks, Western patrons of Ukraine have, in fact, helped Kiev in its attempts of nuclear blackmail, ignoring the shelling of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant by the armed forces of Ukraine at a UN Security Council meeting convened by Russia last week on this issue. Not a single Western delegation was determined to call a spade and urge Kiev to stop these dangerous actions that could lead to a radiation catastrophe on the European continent. So I'd like to get your perspective on this, because you've got Ukraine shelling a nuclear power plant, the biggest one in Europe. If that core overheats, we could have another Chernobyl, and yet no one seems to want to talk about it. Can you comment on this issue?
Well, this is that report you just read is from a couple of days ago. There was actually on Monday a UN Security Council hearing, and the Ukrainians started out by saying the Russians are shelling the plant. And the Russian ambassador said, why would we shell the plant with our own soldiers inside? And then the Ukrainian said, well, we're shelling it. They admitted they're shelling it. And they said, we're shelling it because Russia has a military installation there. So the Russian ambassador showed satellite photos and on real-time photos inside the plant, which show there's no artillery based in that plant. And then he went on to make the point that they know what weapons are being used to shell the plant, and they're being fired from the howitzers that were provided by the United States to Ukraine. So he said, how are we shelling the plant with American weapons? Now, what did the U.S. ambassador say in response to that, or the under-ambassador? They said, that's Russian lies. We trust what the Ukrainians are saying. Now, Ronald Reagan had a famous statement. He said, trust but verify. You know, there's just so much information that's being withheld from people in the West. I know, look, I'm here in Germany, and I see the reports coming in from all over the world, and then I see what's in the German media and the American media. And this reflects something which I just want to call to your viewers' attention. In 2019, there was a report done by the RAND Corporation, which often works with the military-industrial complex. The report was titled, Whose Story Wins? And it was about how to control the narrative so that the story that, people believe is the one you want them to believe. And it says in the report that it's important not to let the other side's story get out. Now, that's what we're seeing. That's what the censorship regime in the United States is, that if Americans try to counter the lies of our government, you can be in trouble for it. We see things like what just happened in Michigan with the so-called Whitmer kidnapping plot, which was clearly an FBI operation, but that was not allowed to be presented in the courtroom. And so over and over, we look at the what the Trump lawyers filed in a motion to against the Justice Department, FBI, and the Mar-a-Lago raid. And what they asked the judge is, how can you trust a Justice Department and FBI which lied, openly lied, in order to get wiretaps and surveillance on the Trump campaign using a report, the Christopher Steele dossier, which they knew was false? So when we see things like this, you have to ask the question, who is the American government protecting? Who are they defending? And we in the LaRouche movement have a long history of this because the Justice Department ran a Get LaRouche task force in the 1980s. And one of the people who was a top official in that task force, this is in 1987, was Robert Mueller. He was involved in the Get LaRouche task force that put out lies and slanders against LaRouche that eventually ended up sending him to prison for 5 years for the charge of one man conspiracy to defraud the IRS. So I think when we look at what's coming out in the mainstream media, it's wartime propaganda. They can call it information warfare, hybrid warfare, but it's lying. It's lying and censorship. And this is something which I'm sad to say this from the U.S. government, but this has been a shift that occurred under virtually every president from George H.W. Bush forward. And when Trump tried to stand up against it, he was a target of the same disinformation warfare being run from the highest levels of the permanent bureaucracy of the Justice Department and the FBI.
Well, you've done a good job of describing some of these unseen forces, the military-industrial complex and the bankers and so forth. I've never seen an anti-Russian propaganda machine go into full force like the whole I Stand With Ukraine meme that went on, during this conflict. It seemed like all of the corporations were forced somehow to coordinate and get on board. Even my own internet service provider had a little banner at the top that said that they're donating money to Ukraine and they're against Russia and everything. Just random small, medium, and large size corporations have to toe the line of being anti-Russian. Can you tell me a little bit about LaRouche? Go ahead and comment on that.
I was just going to say, if you go back to where this thing started, it wasn't the February 2022 invasion. It started after the fall of the Soviet Union, when the United States promised Russia there would be no eastward expansion of NATO. And this was a concern for Russia because Russia was dismantling the Warsaw Pact, the military alliance under the Soviet Union. And they were concerned that they would be would no longer be protected. Now, what happened after that occurred is who was sent in to supposedly make the transition of Russia to a modern democratic capitalist country? It was Wall Street bankers and City of London bankers, and they looted Russia to the bone. And this is what ended up bringing Putin into power in 1999, 2000, to try to restore the economy of Russia. And Putin tried to work with Western governments. He tried to work with George W. Bush. He tried to work with Obama. When there was an attempt to have Trump and Putin get together, this was sabotaged by Russiagate. And then Biden came in, and it's the same team. Basically, I don't think Biden has much to do with it right now, even though he's been a war hawk his whole career. but it's people like Blinken, Jake Sullivan. These are the people who are running the policy. Samantha Powers, Susan Rice. These are the old Obama War Hawk team. And so what we see on the Russia side of things is that they intended to degrade Russia and steal the raw materials from Russia. Because Russia has very substantial strategic metals, raw materials, and so on. Now, what really triggered the Russians was the February 2014 Maidan coup, which was run to put in a new government, a regime change coup, which was funded by people like George Soros, the International Republican Institute, the National Democratic Institute. Victoria Nuland, who was an undersecretary of state, bragged that the U.S. spent $5 billion to get rid of Yanukovych. And what came in then was Poroshenko, who is what? An oligarch who made his money when the U.S. And the West came in and looted the former Soviet countries. Then at that point, there was an attack on the Russian population in eastern Ukraine. And this is something most Americans don't know because it's not reported. 14,000 people have been killed in the Donbas, largely by Ukrainian military shelling into that area. Why? Because the people in the Donbas, many of them speak Russian, their families are Russian, and they didn't like the coup. They wanted autonomy. Now, here's an important point that has never been discussed in the U.S. media. There was an attempt by Germany and France working with Russia and Ukraine to resolve the problem in eastern Ukraine. It was called the Minsk Accord. And the Ukrainian government signed it, which meant they were willing to give some autonomy to the people in that region, not force them all to only speak Ukrainian, not force them to live under the Maidan coup regime, but to have some autonomy. It was signed by Poroshenko, the former president, and Zelensky in his presidential campaign said he will fulfill the Minsk Accords. Once he became president, he was told by the neo-Nazis in the Azov Battalion, who have been brought into the Security and Defense Department in Ukraine, that if he signs that and follows it through, not signs it, but if he follows it through, he will be found hanging from a tree. And I think what happened is that he was intimidated by the neo-Nazis in Ukraine, and then by the Biden administration, Boris Johnson, people like Macron, Scholz in Germany, and others, into being a willing puppet in engaging in a war against Russia. Now, Sean, I'd just like to say one thing that, again, people don't know too much about, but it shows the reason why we have this whole situation in Ukraine. On February 4th of this year, there was a meeting between Putin and Xi Jinping where they signed an agreement. It wasn't primarily a military agreement. It was an agreement to establish economic ties between Russia as a European country and China as an Asian country, to incorporate the Eurasian countries in between, including countries like India and Pakistan, into a new economic alliance. And if necessary, to prepare for a new financial system, not based on the central bank, Federal Reserve, funny money, but move back toward currencies that are based on something real, which includes gold, it includes raw material wealth, it includes food production, lumber, and so on. In other words, what we used to have in the United States, a real economy based on real money that would fund production. And instead, we have a bubble economy in which the Federal Reserve is providing trillions of dollars to speculators. That's why we have inflation, because we're not funding the real physical economy anymore. So Russia and China and India and Brazil and South Africa, Argentina, a number of other countries were moving toward that direction. And that's why the United States supported the Ukrainians to launch an offensive against the Donbas. And Putin, who had tried to talk to Biden about this, was finally convinced by his military that in February 24th of this year, they had to launch their special military operation because the Ukrainians were about to launch a slaughter in the Donbas. So what's beneath this is not just anti-Russian propaganda, but an attempt to move away from the funny money system of the current Federal Reserve. And this would be in the interests of the United States. It would be to our benefit to move toward this. And the rest of the world is looking at this. India is trading rupee for rubles. Why is it the Russian economy hasn't collapsed under sanctions? Because much of the world is working with them. And Putin, in a speech last week, said, look, the West is the one that's isolated because they're going against the interests of sovereign nations around the world, insisting that those nations give up their sovereignty for this great reset. And if American people knew more about this, there would be no support at all. The Democrats who want to support Biden in this will be voted out. Republicans who still have the Bush tendency would be voted out. So we really need an awakening in our country to recognize why our sovereignty is so important and what that means in terms of economic policy and strategic policy.
I think certainly if Americans knew about the Nazis in Ukraine, they probably wouldn't support them either. But you laid out a good example of how when you mess with the deep state's cash register, there are some consequences to deal with. But actually, it's fast-tracked an alternative to the dollar. And now a lot of countries are getting on board with that. So the sanctions didn't work. The anti-Russian propaganda ultimately is not working. We're going to take a quick break. I want to dig into LaRouche PAC, find out about your principles as soon as we get back.
Did you know that there is a community of human beings that live to be well over 100 years old? It's true. The Hunza people live to be anywhere between 120 to 140 years old. Their secret? Vitamin B17. At Richardson Nutrition Center, founder John Richardson and his family have made it their mission to add vitamin B17 back into the human diet. Vitamin B17 is found in over 1,200 foods in nature and has been gradually eliminated from the human diet throughout the past 100 years. Over the past 20 years, our products have helped customers with immune support, energy, heart health, and much more. At Richardson Nutrition Center, we have developed a product line to easily incorporate B17 back into your diet. Use your special American Media Periscope code AMP888 to receive 15% off your first order at rncstore.com.
Talking to Harley Schlanger, he's the spokesman for LaRouche PAC and a former senatorial candidate. Harley, you guys have been against the deep state climate change agenda and other things since before it was trendy. Can you tell us a little bit more about the principles of your organization?
Well, in doing that, let me start by just making one quick correction. We no longer have LaRouche PAC. That was pretty much taken over as part of a deep state operation. We are now the LaRouche Organization, and people can find my work at thelaroucheorganization.com. Now, you're absolutely right. Lyndon LaRouche was identified by the FBI in the early 1970s when Nixon took the dollar off the gold reserve system in August 1971. LaRouche attacked that. He said, this is a mistake. This will lead to inflation. This will lead to Shaktian economic policies, the takedown of our industry, neoliberal policies, they technically called. In the early 1980s, Lyndon LaRouche was brought in by Ronald Reagan to negotiate with the Soviet Union on Reagan's idea for the Strategic Defense Initiative, what the Democrats called Star Wars. This was something that LaRouche developed along with Dr. Edward Teller as a concept to break away from Kissinger's doctrine of mutual and assured destruction. That is, your only military nuclear policy is all-out war. LaRouche said, let's use new physical principles to develop a capability to knock out, using laser beams, electron beams, and so on, knock out nuclear missiles in space while when they're being launched as a way to make them impotent. Reagan liked it. So Reagan's National Security Council brought LaRouche in to negotiate with the Soviet Union. Now, the Soviets eventually rejected it. They said that they thought the United States would use it as an offensive capability against them. But most importantly, Henry Kissinger went to William Webster, then the FBI director, and demanded that LaRouche and his organization be dismantled. And that was the beginning of the Get LaRouche Task Force, which was run for a while by liberal Republican governor of Massachusetts, William Weld, who was a Justice Department official, and his subordinate, who actually prosecuted the first LaRouche case. And by the way, LaRouche was acquitted in the first case by a mistrial declared in Boston. That was run by Robert Mueller, the same Mueller of the Get Trump Task Force. So you had all kinds of, LaRouche was called a communist. He was called a Nazi, an anti-Semite. Virtually any name you could throw at him was thrown at him. But we started winning elections. In 1986, we won the nomination for the Democratic Party for Secretary of State and Lieutenant Governor in Illinois. I ran in 1990 for Senate, U.S. Senate in Texas, and got 250,000 votes, 25% in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. We were making a significant amount of headway because our policies were for no foreign wars, unless we're attacked, no support for terrorists around the world, and more importantly, the return to the American system of physical economy, taking credit policy and monetary policy away from the private central bank called the Federal Reserve, and returning to the national bank principles of the Hamiltonian policy, which built the nation. And every time we've had a Hamiltonian credit system in which money goes directly into investments in local communities, physical economy, infrastructure, and so on, whenever we've done that, we've had prosperity. But since 1971, we've been in a 50-year arc of a speculative economy, a casino economy, which has created billionaires, made a number of multimillionaires' fortunes, but has destroyed the middle class, the working people of this country. The infrastructure has been degraded, and now they're moving for a great reset. Now, this first became public as an American policy in September 2019 at the Jackson Hole, Wyoming Federal Reserve Conference. We were among the only people who reported on it. And what they were saying is, we have to give the power to the Federal Reserve, not just for credit and monetary policy, but for spending policy. Take it away from the Congress. Now, you may not like the Congress, but at least the Congress has to be responsive to the people. The Federal Reserve doesn't. It's a private central bank. It's responsive only to the biggest speculators like BlackRock and Vanguard and JP Morgan Chase. So it's worth noting that there's going to be a meeting at the end of this week, this year's Jackson Hole conference, where they're going to have an update on where the Great Reset stands. And I'm sure I'll have an article on it coming out. We'll be covering it because we think the American people need to know that in your name, trillions of dollars are being funneled into a speculative system, which no longer has money for healthcare, for education, for infrastructure in the United States. Oh, and by the way, $60 billion for Ukrainian neo-Nazis. That's what has to be corrected. Right.
Well, this message has been around since the 70s and 80s of sound money. It's still so relevant today. Tell me about your organization's modern stance on the climate change agenda and how it even ties in with the ESG scam.
Well, this goes back to the late 60s and early 70s when I was a college student and first met LaRouche. What he was saying is that the argument that we have an environmental crisis is being concocted to support the policies of deregulation, privatization, but more importantly, of globalization, of an attack on sovereignty so that nations cannot invest in their own economies, but you have to have a supranational government which will use so-called environmentalism to raise funds for the speculators. Now, this is what the Green New Deal is. You know, the whole question of man-made climate change has been debunked by thousands of scientists whose works are not allowed to be published. There are many, many scientists who will tell you that the amount of carbon emissions from factories and cars is minuscule compared to the effect of solar radiation and the position of our solar system in the galaxy, that these are much bigger forces that are doing this. And what we really need to do is concentrate on developing new technologies to make sure we have adequate power for heating and cooling, for desalination, for things of that sort, as opposed to the attempt to take us back to the Middle Ages by getting rid of nuclear power, coal, oil, and gas, and so on. Now, what we're seeing here in Germany is what people in the United States should take a look at as your future. Our nuclear industry will be closed completely by the end of this year. The coal, the idea of shutting down coal, and most coal in Germany is clean coal. It's high temperature processes that don't put out a lot of pollution. Oil and gas, these are the efficient energy sources that are necessary for modern industry. What happens when you get rid of them? Well, remember the deep freeze in Texas a year ago when solar and wind didn't produce enough electricity to keep the lights on? The whole intent of the Great Reset is to impose the Green New Deal. And what's the idea behind it? There are too many people. It's a population reduction mafia that has been funding the environmental movement since the 1960s, since the Club of Rome and Paul Ehrlich and the Limits to Growth crowd came into being. Now, what we saw, which was interesting when Trump came in, is one of the first things he did is he pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. That was a very important positive move. Now, the Russians also don't like the Paris Accord. They say, well, yes, we need to clean pollution and things of that sort. But what are they doing? They're building coal plants. They're building nuclear plants. So are the Chinese. What do the Africans want? They don't want solar power. They know solar power can't power anything. They want coal and nuclear power. We need to fund nuclear fusion development. This is a virtually unlimited source that we have as a potential. Instead, we're told that if we eat meat, if we keep the lights on, if we have heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer, we're going to boil over the planet. This is a scientific fraud, and it's supported by the cancel culture, which is shutting down any scientist who speaks against it, talking about climate deniers to try and equate real science with Holocaust denial. That's the level on which this narrative is protected by
the— Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, because the carbon they want to reduce is us. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to find out about how your organization has a dent on policy and makes change and impact as soon as we get back.
Hey friends, Dr. Michelle and I are not celebrity doctors. You probably won't see us interviewed by Oprah, but we see wonderful results in the lives of our patients every single day. We see results.
While most medical practices are focused on managing your symptoms, we help you find the root cause and find healing with proven and natural solutions. Will you take 12 seconds and go to Sherwood.tv and join our free newsletter? We'll keep you up to date on new interviews and practical tips for hope and health. Visit Sherwood.tv and subscribe.
Talking to Harley Schlanger, the spokesman for the LaRouche organization. So how do you guys have an impact on policy? You've got connections with government and you try to explain things to them. You run candidates. How does it work?
Well, just as an example, we have a candidate now for U.S. Senate in New York running against Chuck Schumer. The Democratic Party in New York tried to make it impossible to have a third party on the ballot. But my colleague, Diane Sayre, got 45,000 valid signatures. And so she's the third candidate. There's going to be Schumer, there's a Republican, and Diane Sayre. And she's getting enormous response by talking about how Schumer is funding the Nazis in Ukraine. At the same time, he's funding the shutdown of oil and gas in the United States, funding, working for the Great Reset, and so on. So we do have some campaigns. We also have a candidate in Houston, Texas, a good friend of mine named Joel DeJean, who's running for Congress. But we also have conferences, and we have international conferences. We have, of course, speakers from the United States and from all over Europe, but also from India, from South Africa, from Argentina, Brazil. I do regular interviews as a spokesman for the LaRouche organization on television stations, the English language stations in Algeria and Pakistan and Italy and all over the world. LaRouche's ideas are very well known. When LaRouche passed away in February 2019, but during his many years in public life, he met with presidents of nations like López Portillo of Mexico, like Indira Gandhi of India. He wrote numerous papers about how to return to the American economic system. And some of this was reflected in the 2016 campaign of Donald Trump, who took up two of LaRouche's main issues economically. One was returning to Glass-Steagall banking separation, which Trump had put into the Republican platform over the objections of most of the Republican congressmen. Why is this important? Because it means if banks collapse, they will not be bailed out if they collapse because they're speculating. Glass-Steagall separates investment banks from commercial banks. It's an extremely important piece of legislation. It was repealed in 1999 by the Congress and signed by Clinton. It was a bipartisan thing. Trump came around to what LaRouche wanted to do with returning to Glass-Steagall. He also spoke early in his presidency of the American system of economics, of Henry Clay, of Abraham Lincoln. This is what LaRouche has always talked about. The American system where you fund entrepreneurs, inventors, industry, so you know they can live or die on their own, but you make sure the credit is there, as opposed to what we have today, where credit is cut off for production and right. instead is going right. into speculation.
It sounds like LaRouche has a lot in common with the Trump America First populism, and of course we had the Tea Party as well. There's so many shared values for conservatives and people who believe in sovereignty. And I really appreciate you explaining it today. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, Harley, but really appreciate it. And people can visit your website on the screen to get more information. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you, and I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for watching AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. We are America's Patriot-only network. You can follow me on Truth Social at Sean Morgan Report. Get my breaking news updates at SeanMorganReport.com. God bless all you patriots. Good night and good luck.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.